Welcome to Spokane Public Radio's Music That Matters, an hour dedicated to the sounds that form, comfort, and entertain us, our music that matters. I'm host and producer, Jim Tevenin. This week is our Opus 15, and the focus is opera. For about 10 years earlier this century, that Giuseppe Verdi tune from La Traviata was a recognizable theme around the inland Northwest. It celebrated the present and past glories of opera from the vantage point of one of its practitioners, stage director and aficionado Bill Rush. Bill died last month on December 14th at age 95. Music mattered to Bill, as did sharing his extraordinary collection with listeners. Speaking of collections, we have the recordings of those programs in our archives. Vern Windham, Bill's producer, brings back some of that knowledge, experience, and enthusiasm.
An interesting part of working at KPBX is receiving calls from people who want to be on the radio. Years ago, an elegant voice on the phone was from a gentleman who said he had just moved to the Sandpoint area in retiring as a theatrical director at the Globe Theater in San Diego. He allowed that he had a good record collection and invited me to visit him and see it. I dragged my feet for too long, as usual, but eventually got there with a little prodding from some other folks in the Sandpoint area. The view of the archives was overwhelming. In a huge, secure room was the most amazing collections of recordings I've seen outside a library. Almost all vocal music, it included every medium, Edison cylinders, acoustic and electric 78s, massive quantity of LPs, of course, cassettes, and walls of CDs. Then there were the tapes, an entire wall of decades of pirated Metropolitan Opera broadcasts, for instance, and the equipment to play all these treasures on, including one of the more amazing collections of Edison cylinder phonographs. And there was the owner, a well-spoken retiree, who matter-of-factly but lovingly described the contents of all of this material. Bill Rush was right. It needed to be shared. Producing that show with Bill was a joy. The first few years, he drove in every few weeks, and we would spend a weekend creating shows at the station. As his eyesight faded, I started driving to his lovely house outside Hope, Idaho, with a gorgeous view of the lake. I would set up a studio, and we would spend a weekend happily producing great shows. So we created a radio show, the Bill Rush edition of Vox Humana, The Human Voice. In this hour, we will sample some of what Bill gave us. This first clip, for the next 12 minutes, represents an opportunity he had to encounter a great historical event. Let's enjoy it through his eyes, ears, and heart. Weeks in a row we hear that theme for the Bill Rush edition of Vox Humana, and 2 weeks in a row that we get to revel in the fabulous singing of Beverly Sills. So without further ado, let's bring you right in here, Bill Rush, for part two. Now, first, welcome and good evening.
Well, good evening to you, Vern.
And last week you mentioned, as we were opening this show, about all of the singers we had lost in the course of the summer. And I commented when I saw your tune list for tonight, I didn't think that there ever was anything with Beverly Sills and Luciano Pavarotti, because somebody had asked me that question, and yet that's the very way we're going to begin as we get into Beverly Sills tonight.
Yes, indeed. Two legendary singers, two tremendously gifted artists who very rarely appeared together. This may be maybe I wouldn't say the only time they ever sang in opera together, but the occasions were very, very rare, and they certainly never recorded together in the studio because, of course, they were with different companies, and that sort of thing very seldom happens where there's a crossover. But this, again, is another live performance, Vern, that took place on the West Coast in 1972. And this was another signature role of Beverly's, Lucia de Lammermoor, and actually a signature role of Pavarotti's as well, Edgardo, the tenor hero, which he sang all over the world, as did Beverly in all of the world's great opera houses. She was much in demand for Lucia because probably of all the bel canto operas, it is the one that has survived and sustained over all the years and certainly is a great favorite with the public. This was an incredible performance, and I can testify that because actually, believe it or not, I was in the audience the night that this performance was broadcast. And I later got a copy of it, of course. And I will tell you, it was one of those moments, again, of where you don't quite believe you've heard what you've just heard. I was with a very good longtime friend, a great opera fanatic, lives in New York, goes to the Met and opera all the time, and another fellow record collector, very knowledgeable. And at the end of Act One, we looked at each other, and he turned to me and he said, "Do you think Caruso and Melba could have sung this any better?" And I looked at him and I said, no. It was just one of those incredible moments. And whenever you have Sills and Pavarotti on the same stage together, and you're fortunate enough to be in the audience, believe me, that's something you're going to remember all your life. So let's hear this. This is the end of Act One of Lucia, beginning with Edgardo's solo, Sulla Tomba, which leads then eventually into the quite familiar duet that ends the first act, Verano a te sul aurore. As Edgardo bids farewell to Lucia, he has to leave the country on business, but he swears fidelity and that he will return. So here are Sills and Pavarotti in Lucia.
Tradito genito al tuo sangue eterna guerra io giurai nel mio furore a finire e ne core vino Ooh.
Beverly Sills and Luciano Pavarotti in performance, one of those pirated tapes which only a Bill Rush could have shared with us. Then there was the time that it got personal and local. Spokane native Patrice Mansell made her Met debut in the 1940s while still a teenager. In one of her last visits to her family in Spokane, she and Bill had way too good a time on the radio. To our familiar tune, we know that it's not only Vox Humana, but it's the Bill Rush edition, and what a Bill Rush edition it is, because we have a lovely surprise tonight. First, let me introduce the man of the hour, Bill Rush. Hello, Bill.
Hello, Vern.
And he can introduce the woman of the hour.
Oh, very definitely the woman of the hour, maybe the woman of the year in many, many years. This is a very special program, ladies and gentlemen, one that we have never had the privilege and honor of doing before. And if you looked in your program guide for the month, you would see that this special holiday program is called A Cornucopia of Mansell Goodies. And we have Spokane's own coloratura soprano Patrice Mansell with us, and we couldn't be happier about that. And we're going to try to pry out of her some reminiscences and memories of her incredible, fabulous career. So I will say without further ado, good evening to you, Pat Mansell.
I'm so glad to be here, Bill. I hope you've got time for all my reminiscences, because they are multitudinous, to say the very least. But I'm just so thrilled to be back in Spokane. That is the greatest thing that has happened to me in years. And I'm excited, thrilled, and overwhelmed with the city and with the people and with what's going on here. And the beauty of it still, and the beauty of where I lived and grew up.
In a few changes, I imagine.
A lot of changes,
yeah.
But it's still so much the same. It would be glorious to bring up children here.
Well, it's wonderful too, isn't it? The way old friends get modernized, you might say. I'm thinking of the Fox Theater, which of course was a fixture when you were living here, and almost disappeared, as we all know, and now has been reinstated to probably even more glorious state than it was originally.
I can't wait to see it. I haven't been in it because I wanted to just have that first moment on Sunday to just go, oh, my God, and look at it. Because I came out several years ago to do a concert to raise money for the Fox, and I found a picture before I left home. I don't know if I sent it out to anybody, of me on the stage of the Fox. I must have been about 8 years old, maybe, in toe slippers, sitting on a little bench in the front of the stage, and behind me were some young ladies. It must have been a concert of some sort. I don't remember at all what for, but I was obviously dancing. I could have been whistling, artistic whistling, as well as...
Or both at the same time.
Both at the same time, which I did do.
Right.
But I was so thrilled to find that picture of me sitting there in my toe slippers. And then I used to go, of course, and we'd go to the movies when I was young and neck at the in the theater. It was great memories for me of romance and that beautiful spot too. To be able to have a little snuggly time. It was wonderful. So that will all come back to me, I'm sure, when I go in on Sunday. And I just will have to find someone to snuggle with for a few minutes.
Well, I shouldn't think that would be too difficult.
Well, are you offering?
Don't tempt me. Anyway, I thought we'd do kind of a brief overview of your incredible career. And so I've selected three selections from your commercial recordings, which sort of break down into three distinct categories. Mm-hmm. And the first category, as we all know, and I think is the one that is most publicized, was your incredible debut at the Metropolitan at the age of 17. That was in 1943. And if I've done my math correctly, that operatic stage career lasted for approximately 15 years.
Right.
And then after that, you went into what we call operetta or light opera, the classic Naughty Marietta, Rosemary, The Merry Widow.
Bill, I'll stop you just for a second.
Sure.
Because actually, I was doing those while I was doing the Met. I was doing concerts as well as the operettas and singing all the popular music on radio, because I'd grown up with all of that. So my career was not settled completely
into one
section.
Right, I understand. Well, and then, of course, at the Met, you did both Die Fledermaus, Adele,
yes,
and the La Pericole, which was done especially for you, and they're both operettas.
Oh, yes.
Even though they were presented at the Met.
Yes.
Along with the Lucias and the Rigolettos.
With fabulous directors doing
right.
them. It was very exciting.
Well, and then the final phase of the career, what I would call Broadway musical theater, which brought you sort of full circle. Am I right, Pat? I think it was 1990 that I saw you here in Spokane. I believe that was your last coast-to-coast national tour in the title role of Mame.
My favorite,
yes,
outside of Lucia or Dying on Stage, which I adored. Mame was heaven to play. Mame was so brilliantly written, and I adored doing it. I'm glad you were there, because she was just so beautifully written and so much fun. And, who starred on it on Broadway? A dear, dear friend that was so fabulous in it.
Well, there have been so many.
Well, she was the best.
Was it Angela Lansbury?
It was Angela Lansbury,
yeah.
And Angela was fabulous. And I just wanted to bring everything that she was able to bring to the character and make it real. And it was so beautifully written that you could do that. But I was thrilled to be able to do that.
Well, you were a knockout, and I know because I was there.
I'm so glad.
But we're going to start at the other end, the operatic end. And this is a recording that I know of an aria you're very fond of. This is from the sort of fantastic fairy tale opera, Le Coq d'Or, The Golden Cockerel, by Rimsky-Korsakov. And one of the other reasons I chose this is it happens to be your very first RCA Victor Red Seal recording, which came out only on a 78 RPM, somewhere in the mid-40s, shortly after you'd made your debut. So let's listen to this now as an introduction. You sang the role, of course, at the Met in English.
Yes.
This is sung in French. Oh. Salut toi, soleil. We know it as the hymn to the sun.
Oh,
so
yes.
Here is Patrice Mancel singing from Le Coq d'Or, the hymn to the sun.
Thank you.
Summer 1945 recording, Patrice Mansell singing that aria by Rimsky-Korsakov from Le Coq d'Or, Salut à Toi.